Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, January 7, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 6, 20 and 21 says, "For as long as you were slaves to the sin nature, you were not under the control of, or you were not slaves to the righteousness of God. And therefore, what advantages and benefits were you enjoying at that time when you were enslaved to the sin nature, because of which things you are now ashamed?" Now, this question in the Greek demands the answer, no advantages, no benefits, absolutely none. For the outcome of those things is death, spiritual death in time, parlayed into eternal death. And that brought us to a study of the doctrine of the last judgment. We note a point one definition. The last judgment is the alternative to salvation. It is the result of man's failure to believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The last judgment is the expression of the holiness of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice toward those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is the culminating judgment of human history in which every unbeliever of the human race is judged and sentenced to the lake of fire. They will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Supreme Court Judge of heaven, and have their day in court, John 5:22. This is also called the second death or the great white throne judgment. The lake of fire is the second death. Now that brings point two. There are two basic categories in the human race based on God's infinite holiness, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That is the believer or an unbeliever. Two categories in the human race. Attitude toward Christ determines classification in the human race. So here's the cross. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. While he was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins, and poured all those sins out on Jesus Christ. And then God the Father judged all of our sins in Jesus Christ. That solved the world's problem of sin. Now, the world's divided into two categories. Those who reject Jesus Christ and those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. The entire human race. There's only two categories. And it's all determined by your attitude in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for you on the cross. You see, it cost Jesus Christ everything. He was the eternal Son of God. He was always in perfect fellowship, relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, was required that the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, humble himself and take on true humanity and go to a cross. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know is the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that first Christmas. There's no miracle greater than that, because that demonstrates God's grace and love for the whole world, for everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's no way. How can a holy God allow sinful man into heaven? He can't. So the Father came up with Operation Grace, the cross. And he gave the gift of his Son. That's God, phenomenal virtue love, infinite virtue love. He gave the gift of his Son. It cost the Father everything. It cost sending his Son from heaven to earth, take on true humanity. Why? To die. He came to die. He came to go to a cross. And while he was on the cross, once the Father poured out the sins of the world on Christ, he separated from Jesus Christ. That never happened in all of eternity. All he could do was judge him. And he did. For 3 hours, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., he judged Jesus Christ bearing our sins in him. It cost the Father everything. It cost Jesus Christ everything. That's how much God the Father loved the whole world and how much Jesus Christ loved the whole world. Infinite virtue love. God is not willing that any should perish. If God didn't care, he just let everybody just send everybody to hell and create a new batch. See, if I was God, that's what I would have done. So obviously I'm not God. Some of you might have thought that. I doubt it, seriously. Attitude toward Christ determines classification in the human race. Turn over to John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 3, verse 18. Whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of God's uniquely born Son. Look over to verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Turn over to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, that means He is infinitely fair. Therefore, all those who never reach the age of accountability are automatically saved by the justice of God. There are those in the human race that never reach the age of accountability where they can believe in Christ. They are all in heaven automatically. Babies that die, those infants that die before the age of accountability, they're in heaven, every one of them. Those who are mentally challenged and never get to the point where they can understand the grace gospel, they're all in heaven. It is only those in the human race who have reached that point of accountability. Now, what are you going to do with your free will, your volition? Those who believe in Christ, eternal salvation, the imputed righteousness of God, the gift of eternal life. Those who reject Jesus Christ, they have no advantages, no benefits, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Basically, you have just slapped Jesus Christ in the face. That's what every unbeliever does. Just slaps Jesus Christ in the face. God's holds out a gift to the whole human race. And the unbeliever just slaps the gift right out of his hand. Says no. So therefore, because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, that means He is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, and He is infinitely fair. And therefore, all those who never reach the age of accountability are automatically saved by the justice of God. Point three, in the last judgment, only the unbeliever is under the indictment of rejection of Christ as Savior. In the last judgment, only the unbeliever is under the indictment of rejection of Christ. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Now we've seen this in the past here. Many times. Revelation 20. So in the last judgment, only the unbeliever is under the indictment of rejection of Christ as Savior. Revelation 20:11-15 is the passage. And it starts out in verse 11, then I saw a great white throne. So when you ask, where do you get this great white throne judgment? Great white throne. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. All judgment has been given to the Son by the Father. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. These are all the unbelievers of human history. And books, plural, were opened, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according, kata ta erga, according to their works, as recorded in the books, plural. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged kata ta erga according to his works. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. All right, a couple of things. One, the book of life is the roster of believers only. The book of life is the roster of believers only. Two, the unbeliever is not found in the book of life because he has never believed in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The unbeliever is not found in the book of life because he has never believed in Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Three, therefore, he has no imputed righteousness of God, and he has no gift of eternal life. Therefore, he has no righteousness from God, and he has no gift of eternal life. They only come. The righteousness from God and the gift of eternal life only come one way. By faith in Jesus Christ. Four. No believer is involved in the last judgment. No believers will be there in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Turn over to Romans 8. We're getting close to Romans 8. I'm already in Romans 8. So some of you are saying, well, hurry up and get us there. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. What is that? In union with Christ. How do you get in union with Christ? Baptism of the Spirit. How does the baptism of the Spirit take place? By faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The baptism that you must have is the baptism of the Spirit. That occurs at the very instant of your faith in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So no believer is involved in the last judgment. No believers will be there in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Five, the unbeliever has two appointments with God. The first appointment is physical death, and the second appointment is the second death, the lake of fire. The unbeliever has two appointments with God. The first appointment is physical death. The second appointment is the second death, the lake of fire. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9:27, just as man, the unbeliever, is destined to die once, physical death, and then after that, to face judgment, the second death, the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 14. Point six. The second appointment of judgment is preceded by the second resurrection. So there are two resurrections. The first resurrection is the resurrection of all believers. And then the second resurrection is the resurrection of unbelievers. So two resurrections. So the second appointment of judgment is preceded by the second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers. Now these two different resurrections are presented in Revelation chapter 20, If you notice, let's go just for a moment. Go back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And look at verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Now you have the word blessed. It's the word makarioi, happinesses. Happiness. Lots of happiness. Happinesses and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection of all believers. The first resurrection is the resurrection of those who believe in Jesus Christ. The second death has no power over them. And then there's the second resurrection. That's the resurrection of all unbelievers. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. All right, John 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and John 5, verse 28, he says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their grave will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done the good, in that which is intrinsically good, that is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, they will rise to live." That's the first resurrection. And then those who have, that's the resurrection of all believers. And those who have done evil, they have rejected Christ as their Savior, they will rise to be condemned. The second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers. Then turn over to back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12 describes this as well. Daniel 12, verse 2. Daniel 12, 2. "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life," first resurrection, the resurrection of all believers, "and others to shame and everlasting condemnation," the second resurrection, unbelievers only. So there are two resurrections. And the second appointment of judgment is preceded by the second resurrection. So let's amplify that. One, all unbelievers are resurrected at the end of the millennial kingdom in order that they may be judged by Jesus Christ and then cast into the lake of fire. All unbelievers are resurrected at the end of the millennial kingdom in order that they may be judged by Christ and then cast into the lake of fire. Now, you know, I've given the gospel, and you have too. You have given the gospel again and again and again, fulfilling your royal ambassadorship. You don't want to see people wind up in the lake of fire either, forever. And so you're motivated to give the grace gospel when God opens the door for you. And if you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, God will open the door for you. He will open the door for you to give the grace gospel. And many times you give it, the person will believe in Christ as their Savior. And it's, I mean, when that happens, why, your feet don't even touch the ground. You just kind of go through the air. And there'll be times when you don't know whether they believe in Christ or not. Or sometimes they may even reject it. But you don't want anyone to wind up, unless they're a Washington Husky. No, I'm just kidding. I was asked when I came in, "Who are you rooting for, Washington or Michigan?" I said, I'm rooting for the Cougars, Washington State. That's what I'm rooting for. I said, well, and the Huskies raid up right up with the Communists and Notre Dame. But I will say this. I think the best quarterback in college football is the Washington Husky quarterback. He is the best passing quarterback in college football. Maybe Michigan is the best defense in college football. It's going to be a hell of a game, or maybe even a heaven of a game. So it'll be fun to watch. Where was I? There's no extra charge for the... All unbelievers are resurrected at the end of the millennium in order that they may be judged by Christ and cast into the lake of fire. Two, they are resurrected from the fire of Hades, which is called torments in the Bible, to face the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and then into the lake of fire. They are resurrected from the fire of Hades, these torments, to face Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment and then cast into the eternal lake of fire. Three, so the last judgment follows the second resurrection. Second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers. Point seven, the basis of indictment of the unbeliever. The basis of indictment of the unbeliever. One. Not one personal sin will be mentioned. At the great white throne judgment, not one personal sin will be mentioned. Why? Why won't any personal sin be mentioned? Because all the sins of the world were gathered up by the Father, poured out on Christ. They've already been paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Not one personal sin will be mentioned. That's not the basis for the last judgment. For the point two. Rather, the basis of his judgment is his human good works. The basis of his judgment is his human good works. Three, God rejects the unbeliever's human good works. It all comes from the sin nature. The trends of the sin nature are sin, human good, and evil. God rejects the unbeliever's human good works as not good enough. To live with God forever in heaven, you have to have the righteousness that comes from God. And that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. All of the unbeliever's human good is minus R, relative righteousness. So God rejects the unbeliever's human good works as not good enough to match God's righteousness, which God requires to live with him forever. Turn over to Romans 3. We've been there, Romans chapter 3. Very dogmatically declared in Romans 3, 20 to 22. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, that is, doing the works of the Mosaic law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God, a righteousness that comes from God, apart from the works of the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, testify. And this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So God rejects the unbeliever's human good works as not good enough to match the righteousness from God, which God requires to live with him forever in heaven. For at the last judgment, two books are open. We saw this, Revelation 20, 12 and 13. Two books are opened. One is the book of life, which lists the names of believers only. And therefore, this book is closed because all the names of unbelievers have been blotted out. And so it is not an issue at the last judgment. So there is the book of life that lists the names of believers only. And there is the books of works, the books plural, the books of works, which lists the names of every person who has rejected Christ as Savior. All his works are listed there, and they are all added up, and they total minus R, relative righteousness. But to live with God forever in heaven, you have to have the absolute righteousness that comes from God, and that is only by faith in Jesus Christ. All unbelievers, therefore, are judged kata ta erga, according to their works, Revelation 20, 12 and 13. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world, for those who would wind up believing in Christ. He also paid the penalty for the sins of those who would reject Jesus Christ. And that's the doctrine of unlimited atonement. That again shows God's infinite, impersonal love for the whole world when the world was at its worst, spiritually dead and totally depraved. He was willing to go to a cross and take their sins and the judgment for their sins so that everyone in the human race is potentially, has the potential for eternal salvation. Turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, 2, he, Jesus Christ, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, believers, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's the doctrine of unlimited atonement. That is how magnificent the grace and virtue love of God is for the world. The unbeliever is judged because he has rejected Jesus Christ as Savior, John 3:18. John 16:9 says that the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit does not address your personal sins, but only the one sin which could not be judged on the cross, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. That's the only one that could not be judged on the cross concerning sin because they do not believe in me. John 16:9. All right. The last judgment. And, you know, everybody wants to believe there's a heaven. I've given the gospel many, many, many times. And everybody wants to believe there's a heaven. And unbelievers who are, they're not saved, but I'll ask him, are you going to be, when you die, will you be in heaven? I hope so. I'm working on it. I think I have a chance. Unbelievers, they want to believe that there is a heaven. If there is a heaven, and they want to believe if they do enough good works, they'll get there. Nobody wants to believe there's a lake of fire. But there is. Otherwise, God has lied to us. And if God has lied to us, he's not God. Why believe anything in the Bible? Let's just throw the Bible away. If there's no lake of fire, there is a lake of fire. But when I study the last judgment, all I see is the magnificent virtue love of God to the world, to mankind. God gave everything. The Father gave everything so that you might be saved. Jesus Christ gave everything so that you might have eternal salvation. All I see is the infinite virtue love of the Father and the Son for the whole world. When I study the last judgment in the lake of fire, God's not willing that any wind up in the lake of fire, but if you, from your free will, say no, slap Jesus Christ in the face, then you have no eternal life, you have no righteousness from God, and you will spend eternity in a literal lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.